Hey there, sit down, make yourself comfortable, and grab a cup of tea. Welcome to the 128th episode of Thea's Tea. Thanks for tuning in. In this episode's tea talk, I am actually drinking some coffee. Nothing tastes like the coffee from home. It's been like a year since I was here, and the first cup of coffee I had here in my house tasted exactly how I remembered it. So it's just such a comforting flavor. I feel like coffee is a very comforting drink, especially since I drink it every morning. It's just like a hug to my soul in that tough moment of like waking up and getting started with your day. So the fact that this flavor has remained the same, you know, in this whole year when I left and then when I came back, is just really comforting to me. I'm drinking it in one of the mugs that I loved when I used to live here. It's this white mug with a very pretty color palette. It has like lilac, turquoise, pink, and gray, and they form these little flowers, and it's very geometric. It's the same like repetitive pattern. And yeah, I feel like the colors just mesh really well together, and it's very neat and geometric and aesthetically pleasing. So yeah, I'm running low on it, but I also have some water to back me up. What is new in my life since last week? So I've noticed something, and it's been my ebb and flow relationship with productivity. Basically, these like holidays have been really weird for me because I've been trying to find the balance between being at home, relaxing, enjoying the present moment, going out, spending time with my family, enjoying being here. But that also leads to like, basically, it's impossible to be doing those things all the time. So there will be like dead moments or just moments where I'm at home with nothing to do. And a part of me wants to like do nothing and relax because I'm on holiday, just like watch TikTok or whatever. But there's this voice inside of my head that wants to do something productive or meaningful, like working on this podcast or on applications, you know, finding initiatives that I can be a part of, or yeah, just like work things, courses, all those goals we set for ourselves during vacation. And sometimes when I'm relaxing and watching Netflix, I feel bad for not actively doing those things that I just mentioned. But at the same time, I can't drag myself to do them. So yeah, it's been a lot of like ups and downs. I noticed that the time I usually dedicate to these things is at night when I don't have any plans, from like 9 p.m. to midnight and my family's sleeping and I have nothing to do, no distractions. I'll usually try and dedicate some time to this. But, you know, it's easy to get caught up in life. For instance, on the weekends, I will be going out at night, so I won't necessarily think about this. And yeah, I've noticed that I can sometimes push my limits in like not doing quote unquote productive things. But after a couple of days, I just kind of like burn out on being lazy and like having like not low self-esteem, but like thinking about myself like, wow, I haven't done anything like really meaningful or important in the past few days. And so that puts me back on the train to do these important things, even if it's on a small scale. But yeah, it's just been a really annoying dynamic, because I feel guilty when relaxing, but I also don't have that much fun when I'm like doing some of these things because I want to be relaxing and enjoying myself. So it's been quite tormenting, and it leads me to like not be able to do the simple stuff. For instance, my desk has been a mess since the day I got here, and I cannot be bothered to just like clean it because it seems like such a daunting task, when in reality, if I just put my mind to it, it would literally take like 5 minutes. But I don't want to think about where things go, especially since it's weird because this is my room. But it's also changed a lot since I left, and I don't want to like think about where everything belongs all over again if I'll just leave again in a couple of weeks, and then the next time I come back everything will be different again. So it's just like I leave everything on display in my desk instead of like putting it in my closet or things like that. I don't know, it's a weird like coping mechanism. So that's been my frustrating relationship with like productivity and responsibility. Something exciting is that here in Medellin, on Sundays, what they do is that they block out some streets so that people can walk, bike, rollerblade, basically just like do exercise. And yesterday, for the first time I went, I lived here for like 7 years and I had never been but I tried it out yesterday and it was so fun. Like, it was just a very enjoyable experience. You can walk, you can talk, take it easy. They sell a bunch of things, so you can get like snacks and you see so many people. It's just very entertaining, and obviously you're doing something good for yourself, you're staying fit, and I guess it's like inspiring to be around so many like healthy people, I guess. So yeah, that was a very fun experience. I was surprised by it, and it just reminded me of the importance of trying new things in your life and how exciting that can make things, you know. Just the simple act of doing something new makes you like so aware of your senses and so present in the moment. Then I had some really interesting conversations relating to the topic of last week's episode about creativity, and it just really opened my mind and everything. It was a fun experience. Another thing that I noticed in this past week, which I mentioned in the episode before, was how I noticed that time is going by so quickly and how much I struggle with this. I feel like that is in part what's feeding into like my weird relationship with productivity, because it's just kind of seeing how life passes you by every day. And it's like, I feel like the only way to not be burdened by how quickly time is passing is by being like 100% okay with how you're spending every minute of every day. And in my mind, it's like, if I were doing like completely like meaningful things every day and I weren't wasting time, then I wouldn't be upset by how time is passing by, because I would feel that I've been making the most out of it. But that's impossible. As I said, I'm trying to pack my days with like meaningful activities and things like that, but there will inevitably be like dead moments, and sometimes you're just too exhausted to like, you know, do something productive with them. Or maybe it's like what you think is a 5-minute wait turns into a 1-hour wait, and since you thought it was just 5 minutes, you're like, oh, it's okay, I can just scroll through Instagram. And then as time goes by, you're like, well, I'm not going to embark on a new activity, you know, this wait could be over any minute now. And so you keep indulging in that activity, and then 1 hour has passed and you kind of wasted it. I just hate the notion of like wasting time and, you know, having to like be super intentional with every second. Like, I think that's toxic. But I continue to be in this mindset, and I know that in a couple of months when I'm looking back on my summer break, I won't remember this feeling, and I'll just remember all the incredible things I did, the great time spent, and I won't beat myself up for that one day I spent an entire afternoon on TikTok. But it bugs me that I won't be able to be 100% satisfied with the present moment. I don't know if anybody relates to this, but I swear it's been what's tormenting me the most for these past few weeks. And so yeah, I'm just really upset by how time is going by, and I feel, I don't know, I just feel like it's going by, and I'm like sort of present, but not. And it's just like, I feel like these 2 months are like the best months of my year, because I'm home, I'm with everybody I love, and I have set really high expectations for it, and they've been met, but I don't know. It's really weird. It's like there's a lot of pressure on it. So yeah, sorry for that little dump, but I just needed to get all of that off my chest. These have been the main things that have been like concerning me over the past few days. What will we be talking about this week? It kind of may seem like a downer, because we will be discussing the major disappointments in my life so far. And I know you're probably like, what the heck, Thea? Why are you doing this? But I realized that there have been some like canon events in my life that really were hard for me to deal with. And I feel like they've shaped me, and they're very distinct in my head. So I just wanted to share them, and not in like a sad, sappy way, but I just really wanted to share the stories, the context, how I got over them, and why they impacted me so much, because I feel like it's really interesting. And all of this is going to be done like in a really retrospective way, like looking back. So I have 3 experiences that I want to talk about. 2 of them are from the past, and 1 is something that I kind of foresee coming, if that makes sense. But yeah, these are just the things that come to mind when I think about situations that have been really hard for me to deal with, in kind of like a professional sense or like a passion project sense. So yeah, without further ado, I'll just get on into them. The first one occurred in 2018, so I was in this dance academy, and I had been for a while, and I just need to emphasize how passionate I was about this. These classes were my favorite part of the week. If I had class on a Tuesday, I would be so happy the entire day, you know, at school, excited for this class. That hour and a half would be just like the best time ever. I would make sure that that day I had done all my homework in advance so that when I got home, I didn't have to like work on things because I knew I would be so excited to get to my class that I wouldn't be able to concentrate. So yeah, all of this is really to emphasize how happy I was attending these classes and just like living that whole dancer experience. And in this academy, there was this performance team, and it wasn't like super, you know, like professional, like they wouldn't like go to competitions or things like that. They would just do more performances throughout the year. Although like normal dancers would do one big presentation at the end of the year, but this group would attend more events throughout the year and just like do showcases, do presentations, and they had like a bunch of other choreographies that were a little bit more complicated, and they had these costumes, and it was like this group of girls. And so yeah, in my mind, this was like the elite of the elite, and I wanted desperately to be a part of it. In my mind, it was like more opportunity to dance, more hours in a week, more presentations, which I loved, and of course being friends with these girls, that seemed super cool. So in all of my classes, I really would try to impress the teachers. There was this one leader teacher, I guess, and sometimes she would walk into the classrooms and kind of like look around, and I always tried to pop off when she was there so that she would notice me, and yeah, for me to get like picked and be invited to be a part of like this group. And at first I didn't really know how it worked, so I would just really try to like shine in my classes and get like a secret invitation or something. But then I did some asking around and I learned that they actually held auditions annually to like receive new members. And so I'd been in this academy for a while. Time went by and I noticed that I wouldn't get like a special invitation to join this group. I would need to like go through the audition process, except that I hadn't heard anything of it. And then I realized that for that current year, they simply wouldn't be hosting auditions because they weren't looking for new members because they already had a lot or whatever. So that was kind of a moment where I was like, okay, this is gonna be tougher than expected. You know, am I gonna have to wait like a whole other year? Is this just it? Like, did they already max out their group? Like, is this just the group that's gonna live on for the rest of time? Like, is there no other opportunity? Meanwhile, I continue to really like try hard in my classes to like develop good connections with my teachers, make them know that I wanted to be part of this group. And if I'm honest with you, I felt like I was really good, even better than some of the girls on the team technique wise. I have a very like weird mind and I am like very like, I don't know, like kind of like systematic with some things. I wouldn't consider myself a perfectionist, but I feel like there are some things in my life where I really try to like nail things perfectly. And so in dancing, for instance, if there was a step where we had to put our hands to the side, I would make sure that they were completely parallel to the ground, you know, whereas other people would, you know, kind of like whack them at like a 20 degree angle, you know. So I was very meticulous about like, you know, these angles and, you know, like making sure that I hit the movements properly and that like my arms were straight, or if they were bent, then they were like perfectly bent, you know. I really looked at those kinds of things. So yeah, I felt like I had that maybe other people didn't have. Maybe if I was like lacking flow or like bounce or something like that, I did have good technique. And as I said, I just enjoyed it so much. It was such an exciting part of my life. And I was a good student. You know, I didn't talk in class or like raise distractions. I would ask questions. I would be attentive, you know, just like a good exemplary student. All I wanted was to be part of this team. I wanted to be one of them just to get to do a couple of extra performances through the year. And I really want to emphasize how big a part this was in my life. I only had class like once a week, but I would think about this every single day. I even managed to get recordings of this group's performances, and I started learning the choreographies all on my own, simply by watching the videos, figuring which side was left, which side was right, and learning the steps like by watching the videos over and over again, putting them in slow motion, you know, learning a choreography from watching somebody do it is very different to learning it in class, but I went that extra mile and it was just my passion project. Nobody was asking me to do this, but I felt so motivated and I was like, maybe if I already know the choreographies, they'll just let me in easier. I was doing everything in my power. This was just like 14-year-old me trying to go above and beyond and trying to like be noticed. Eventually, I left that academy because I decided I wanted to pursue ballet instead, and I noticed that I wouldn't really get anywhere with like being a part of the team. So I said goodbye altogether, and then I ended up dropping out of ballet, so completely like eliminating dance from my life, because at that point I had joined robotics, and robotics started to be more and more time consuming, and I was in this ballet academy and it seemed kind of like a dead end, so I was like, I'm just gonna stop dancing altogether. So yeah, that's kind of like how those events unraveled. But yeah, of course I was upset. Even though I left that academy on my own will, I was upset that I didn't accomplish my dream of being on that team. And a few years later, I was talking with this girl and she said something along the lines of, you always get what you want if you persist hard enough. And I told her this counterexample. I was like, look, this was my dream. You know, I wanted to be on this dance team. I worked super hard and I ended up leaving the academy. And she said, well, I think you maybe didn't stay long enough to see it through. Maybe if you had stayed, then you would have accomplished your goal. So that kind of planted like a seed of doubt in me, because it's like, whoa, what if she's right? What if I just wasn't patient enough? What if, you know, you really can achieve everything you want in your life if you wait long enough? Now, in this day, I don't exactly think this is true, because it's impossible to get everything you want in life, even if you wait for a super long time. But, you know, for the sake of this argument, we'll at least consider that it could have been a possibility for this aspect. Fast forward to now, 5 years later, most of the girls that were on this team ended up quitting the academy, you know, obviously because they went to college and, you know, they didn't want to keep dancing, you know, like as a hobby or something like as quote unquote dead end as this. But some of them are still there. You know, some of the girls that were on this team when I was in the academy are still there. And what's more is some of my peers, like the girls that were in the running, if you will, with me, you know, that were also trying to prove themselves, take as many extra classes as they could, you know, waiting for the auditions, are now on that team. They didn't quit when I did. They stuck through it. And eventually, a few years later, I guess the teachers were like, okay, all we really need are just like disciplined, passionate people that have been in the academy for a long time. And that's it. You know, maybe they weren't looking for what I thought they were looking for and what I thought I didn't have that made them not choose me. Maybe it was just a matter of like time commitment. And a few years later, they noticed that if you were still there after all this time and you were okay at dancing and you had like good memory and all that stuff, like you would obviously be part of the team, you know, but I just didn't stay to see that through. So in retrospect, I definitely think my life would be different if I had stayed. And I genuinely mean this, you know, not in the sense that I would still be living here, but I definitely think that my last few like high school years would have been different, you know, and I would have achieved a very important sense of accomplishment, and it would have been an activity that I would have carried on for many, many years, you know. And I still do like dancing, and I think that, you know, maybe this would have been something that would have brought me more joy. And yeah, you know, I just can't help imagine like a reality where I had stuck it through a bit longer and maybe I would have been, you know, selected for this team and things would have gone differently. But at the same time, I don't hate myself for the decision of quitting, because it was quite expensive and my family was like, and I was also thinking like, this isn't going to take me anywhere, you know. So I understand why I had to leave. But yeah, you know, it's just, this was one of the big failures in my life, because I didn't achieve that goal that I wanted. But at the same time, it's kind of my fault because I left the academy. But at the same time, I had all the right to do so, because I had been waiting for a really long time and I didn't see it going anywhere. So in my head, this is just the first kind of example of me wanting something really bad and blatantly just like failing to achieve it. It's as simple as that, you know, I wanted to get in and I didn't get in. So yeah. And then it just like sent a bunch of questions into my head, you know, like, could I have made it if I had stayed in the academy longer like these other girls? Was I just a bad dancer? Did I not have what they were looking for? Could I have gotten better if I had stayed for more years and practiced more? But I remember that when I left this academy, it was like a full-on breakup for me. I had friends that continued there and that were on this team, and it would hurt me to listen to them talk about it. And, you know, I had to unfollow the academy on Instagram. It was like a tragic breakup, and I really needed to detach myself from all of that world to kind of like heal. And now, all these years later, I'm fine with it. Like, I can see videos, I can go on Instagram, like, and it doesn't cause me pain or regret. But, like, don't be confused. Like, it took me a while to get over all of this. So, yeah, that was kind of like the whole first story of my first major disappointment in life. And what I really want you to remember from this is that it's something that I wanted very badly and that I didn't get. The second big disappointment, and I know that when I put it like this, it seems super dramatic, and it kind of was in the moment I was going through it, but now in retrospect, I just see all of this as learning experiences. But this one occurred in 2022, and it was during my college application process. So for context, I talked about this in the podcast, you know, as it was happening, but I applied to 20 colleges in the US because that was my dream. You know, it's always portrayed in movies, especially like the high school experience. And I didn't get that, but I figured that in my college experience, I had a bit more say and I could choose where I wanted to go. And I definitely did fall into the whole like American dream college version narrative, and that became what I wanted, and I really like fixated on it, and yeah, it just became my main goal and what I was working towards. And long story short, I didn't get into any of those schools, and people around me got into very good schools. This is not me trying to like take away from their merit or anything like that. I know the easiest thing is to assume that the system is rigged and that's why I didn't get in, but I trust they have their ways, and if they chose these people, it was for a reason and they deserve to be there. But in that moment, with the frustration that I was dealing with, it really hit me. And I remember that the day I got all my rejections, I wasn't that upset, but the next day when I realized who had gotten in where was what really sent me off the edge. And that just goes to show how in one particular situation, when you're just like analyzing it on your like by yourself, it seems one way, but when you start comparing yourself, it totally blows things into like different proportion. This was a very disappointing experience because it had been what I was working towards for 2 years. Every day I would do something related to this. Even on vacation, I would work on my college applications. When I was in school, I was doing things to put on my college applications, and it was constantly in my mind. And it's what guided my decisions. When I was like, should I sign up to this or should I not? I would always think, oh, how would it look on my college application? You know, how would it serve me? And that's kind of like a selfish mindset. Maybe that's why I didn't get in. But like, you know, I tried to like tailor my decisions and my life to what would help me achieve this goal, like so many students do. And honestly, this whole experience left me so drained and burnt out that I feel like to this day, I haven't even fully recovered or been able to do something as wholeheartedly as this again. I swear every project that I feel like I embark on or pick up, I feel like I kind of do it halfway in comparison to how hard I worked on these applications. And it kind of makes sense because a part of me is probably like, well, you worked so hard on this and it didn't work out, so why should you ever like work hard on something again? So with this experience, I really had to accept that I wouldn't get to live the college experience that I had set out. And by this, I mean, you know, the dorms, all the variety and extracurriculars, the like internship culture, dining halls and not having to worry about like cooking, and the opportunities that come from attending and graduating from prestigious institutions like these. Not to mention all the time, energy, and money that had gone down the drain. Honestly, when I received these decisions, that didn't like hit me that much because I didn't exactly see it as a waste of time because it was still, you know, I was still cultivating certain skills. I was still learning things. I was still practicing my writing, you know, how to complete complicated forms, writing your resume. And I feel like having practiced all of that from like so long ago still gives me a leg up today. But in retrospect, I just think to myself, like, wow, you really did invest a lot of yourself towards this project for it not to have, like, ended the way you expected. If I'm honest with you, a part of me from the beginning kind of expected me not to get into any of these schools. It's weird. I don't know if you've ever, like, for instance, been invited to something or like had plans with something, and then they're canceled, and a part of you's like, I never imagined a version of my reality where we actually ended up going to this, you know? And that's kind of what happened here when I realized that I wouldn't be moving to the US for college. I was kind of like, yeah, well, it kind of makes sense. And not because like I doubt myself or I never thought I would get in. It's just I kind of had a feeling that it wouldn't pan out like that. And I couldn't completely like visualize it, which makes sense because how can you visualize something you don't know? But I don't know. Part of me was like, yeah, you know, this kind of makes sense. I don't know if you understand the feeling or have experienced it for yourself. But regardless, even with this feeling in the back of my head, I still followed through with every step along the way. I did everything I needed to do. I checked all the boxes, and I kind of tried to convince myself through this process that I could go away, you know? So after this happened, it led me to ask myself a bunch of questions. Did I not get in because of my financial situation or like my financial aid applications? Should I have done something different on my application? Should I have done something differently in my high school career? Am I destined to fail? That escalated quickly. How come they got in and I didn't, even though I think I'm equally or even more deserving of it? So yeah, once again, all of these different questions started flooding into my head. Now, a year and a half-ish later, I can honestly say that I've made peace with this experience happening, whatever you want to call it, situation, because frankly I think I'm much better off in France. Simply comparing the countries, I think France is a better fit for me than the US, and in this like college experience that I set out to have, I think that maybe there would have been several things that I wouldn't have liked, and I just think Europe is cooler and it's more exciting for me to live there. And the good thing is that if I do want to like reconcile with my dream of studying in the US, then there's always grad school, you know, that's always a different possibility. And the application process is so different. And I don't want to say like less competitive, but there are less people applying to grad school than there are to undergrad. And overall, the acceptance rates of these universities tend to be higher for grad school. And given that I'm coming from a kind of reputable-ish university in Europe, maybe it could help. So yeah, it's not like I have FOMO for studying in the US. I really like my school, the events it holds up. I think it has like an active student community and I have fun there. And I'm glad I don't live in a dorm and I have like my own little studio apartment. And I'm glad that I get to cook my own food and not eat maybe disgusting dining hall food. And I'm happy with the friends I've made and everything, and the culture France can provide. As for the questions I mentioned earlier, those, like, I can't find the answer to them. Like in the previous situation, I guess I'm just gonna have to like move on with my life and trust the universe. And what's really important is that I found a way to get closure without having the answers. On to the last disappointment, which has not happened yet, but it's something that I am predicting regarding my career. So first of all, you guys need to know that in one of the Model United Nations I participated in, we were talking about women in STEM, and there is this real phenomenon that you can look up and check for yourself. It's called the leaky pipeline, and it basically says that like as girls grow up and advance in their academic career, you know, starting in like middle school all the way like up to grad school, it's as if the like rate of women that go into STEM is a leaky pipeline. Because let's say that at the beginning, when they're smaller, when they're free of prejudice, a lot of them are motivated and curious. And then as they kind of grow up, you know, they realize that the world tries to push the only men more towards STEM fields, and they're told they're not good enough. So slowly they start falling through the gaps as if it were a leaky pipeline. And then when you reach the end, you realize that there are very few women participating in STEM in comparison to the ones that were there at the beginning when they were little. You know, for instance, some may do an undergrad in a STEM-related field, but then go on to doing something completely unrelated or more like business, you know, humanities, not related to STEM. So when I was working on that and like understanding it, I felt like it was really sad, you know, the fact that women are kind of like taught to believe that they don't have a place in this field and how, you know, they're equally as capable, but it's just that for different reasons, you know, they end up leaving this field. So when I chose to do my undergraduate in physics, I chose it because I wanted to participate in space diplomacy. And physics is a good undergrad that opens that door for you, and then you can tailor, you know, from your master's onwards, kind of like more specifically what you want to, you know, do with that. Whereas if you did an undergrad in like a social science degree, you couldn't then do a master's in physics, you know? So I figured that this undergrad would give me more options. And if I decided that I didn't want to go into space diplomacy, well, I still had an undergraduate degree in physics, that would allow me to go into many other different specialties. But during this past year in university, I thought, maybe I could go into research or engineering, which are the more like conventional steps after an undergraduate degree in physics. And that's kind of like what everybody's talking about, what everybody's gonna do. And it seems like the next logical step. And a voice inside of me was like, well, yeah, you know, you're doing this undergraduate degree in physics, you're learning all of these complicated things, like, they should be useful, you know, you should apply them in some way. But then towards the end of the year, I confirmed my initial choice that I much rather, you know, like, prefer and feel like I would be happier and more successful in, you know, space diplomacy. And then it kind of hit me like, wait, am I part of the leaky pipeline if I do follow through with that? Because I don't think I would be directly part of STEM anymore. So am I just another one of those women that thought she wouldn't be capable enough to continue in STEM and ended up opting for a quote-unquote easier or more human choice that fits her better, that confirms, you know, the way she has been brought up, you know, subconsciously orienting her more towards those human fields because men are the ones that are supposed to be in science. And it sucks because already in my physics classes, it's like a lecture hall of 80 students and only 20 of us are girls. So to just imagine that that number is only gonna decrease is insane. Or like that proportion. So I guess the question is, why do I feel so bad for potentially contributing to the leaky pipeline now if it's what I chose in the first place? You know, when I chose my undergraduate degree in physics at the beginning, knowing that I wanted to go into space diplomacy, I didn't feel bad about contributing to the leaky pipeline. It's just after I considered research briefly and then came back to space diplomacy that I was like, wait, you're going to be contributing to the leaky pipeline. Maybe I just didn't connect the dots. That's perfectly possible. Or maybe I always saw physics, if I ended up choosing it as an undergraduate degree, as simply a brief intermediate stage, as a stepping stone to achieve what I really wanted in space diplomacy, you know? And maybe if I viewed it like that, then I wouldn't have to consider myself part of the leaky pipeline, because from the beginning, I knew that that wasn't going to be my endgame. And honestly, I guess a part of me might be disappointed for undergoing a rigorous undergrad and not applying these complex concepts every day, you know, for the rest of my working life. But because I guess the thing is, I already frown when I hear somebody, you know, with a super rigorous like undergrad degree went into something different like administration or just something where they're not applying what they learned in their undergrad. Yeah, I kind of like frown when I hear that, and then it's like, wait, is that gonna become me? But honestly, I feel like, is that so bad, you know? Because as I said, I kind of felt that my passion from the beginning was elsewhere, but I kind of like strategically chose physics as an undergrad. So it's not like I'm letting myself down, you know, like I knew this from the beginning. And mind you, I already noticed that I'm not as passionate as many of the other people that are doing this. And that's okay. Like, I don't have to be, I just have to pass, you know, get things done, learn for my own like enriching and, you know, like academic journey. But I know that there are some of my peers that will be much more successful, that are much better at this, that have just like a better physical vision and insight and just intuition that will allow them to really contribute to the world. A part of me can honestly say that I don't think this will be a disappointment as I'm predicting, because ultimately it's what I want, it's what I wanted from the beginning. I knew that when I made the choices that have led me up to here today. And even if for a moment, like I wandered and maybe thought that I would end up taking a different path and then return to what I originally set out, like, I don't think that's a bad thing. Or I don't think it has to be. And honestly, it all comes down to one thing, and it's that I don't want to feel incompetent at work for the rest of my life. It's as simple as that. I think I would be a much happier person if I felt that in my work, I knew what was going on, I knew what I was doing, I felt confident in my abilities, in my ideas, and I felt that I had something to contribute to make the world a better place in a cause that I'm passionate about. And I just feel like maybe pure science isn't the way for me to get that done. And something that bugs me, so you're probably thinking to yourself, like, okay, you just made that breakthrough, so what's the problem? I guess what really bugs me is that I don't want my peers to think that I was never capable, you know, my classmates or my friends or those around me that know that I'm studying physics and then will maybe notice that I'm doing something not really related to physics. Yeah, it is very much based on, like, what others think about me, because at this point, you know that I'm not capable, and I'm, like, okay with that, but, you know, it would sting probably a bit more if other people were like, oh my god, like, she's not capable, you know? And I know that sounds terrible, I know that reflects maybe weak self-esteem, blah blah blah, but yeah. And I can kind of already feel this coming up, because in my generation at university, I'm taking the lead with, like, different kinds of projects, you know, like the integration between the second years and the first years, you know, planning trips and things like that, which really have nothing to do with physics. So I can imagine my peers thinking, like, wow, how is she so active in all of these things, but she doesn't get the best marks in the class or even close, you know? So yeah, I guess that kind of bugs me, but at the same time, it's like, I'm so excited to do these things that I don't care if it, like, weakens my reputation as a physicist, you know? So that's kind of, like, the thought journey I've had regarding that. To wrap things up for you, I just want to highlight two things that I noticed. Well, first of all, in this episode, we talked about the three major disappointments in my life. In 2018 with my dance career, in 2022 with my college application process, and finally, a prediction that I have for the future of my career. In the two cases that happened in real life, I want to highlight the questions that I ask myself. They're questions that, as I mentioned, I will never get the answer to, or maybe I will, but it's really unlikely, and how you still have to move on with your life even without getting those answers, and how you can perfectly get closure without answering those questions, and how it's even more powerful because it implies that you actually made peace with the things that happened without necessarily understanding them super deeply, because that's simply out of your control. And another thing I want to highlight is that time really does heal all wounds. I don't know if I managed to emphasize how painful these experiences were in the moment I was going through them, but now in retrospect, I really feel like I've healed regarding them. And I think that in part that is related to time. Obviously, there was, like, active work that I did, but I just feel like really time and progressing and moving forward with your life gives you kind of, like, I guess you have more vision in hindsight, and, you know, you can reflect on things. And I just feel like that's really important. Sometimes people underestimate the power that time has over healing things, but I think that it really is valuable when you pair it with active work. And I think that the time that has elapsed is what allows me to look back on these experiences in a mature way to kind of, like, learn from them. Well, that's about it for this episode. I would like to clarify that I am not a specialist. Everything I share is based off of my experience and what I've learned. Don't forget to follow the podcast Instagram at TheSTPodcast. I'm very active on there. It's a visually aesthetic platform built with interactive spaces for us. Please tag me on your stories and send me pics listening with your tea. Also, please rate, review, follow, and subscribe. Whatever your platform lets you do, it would help me out a lot. Because reviews are the only way I can start growing, getting recommended to new people, and being included in rankings. Plus, I read reviews on here, so if you want to be featured, go on right ahead. Please spread this episode with any friends or family you think will like it. I would love it for you to share your thoughts on this podcast. You can send me a voice message directly through Anchor or through my email, thestypodcast@gmail.com. You can reach out for business inquiries and set up sponsorships through there as well. Make sure to check out the show notes. There's a bunch of fun stuff listed down there, alongside with links to everything I mentioned here today. Remember, you can join me every Thursday for a new episode, including the last one of every month with a guest, and an additional bonus monthly Q&A. Thank you for your time, and for joining me in my little corner of the internet. I appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in, have a beautiful week, and a wonderful existence.